For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for listening to the best Houston sports podcast. And in this one, we'll dissect the Texans' one and only primetime game this season. I also want to mention briefly that there was an audio issue with the Astros podcast on Wednesday. But if you didn't notice, I corrected it, re-uploaded it Thursday morning. You'll want to listen to our Astros regular season award show if you didn't hear it earlier on Thursday. Before we fire up our Texans-Panthers postgame show, a reminder that this show is brought to you by BetUS.com, America's favorite sportsbook. Not only is BetUS.com the place to bet on all your favorite sports, not just football, but in just a few minutes, we'll remind you about our exclusive discount. It's a way to save money, support one of your favorite podcasts, that's us, and maybe you can make a little money in the process. More on that soon, but let's get it rolling with my co-host and regular sidekick, a fellow H-Town sports junkie and veteran journalist, Stephen Kerr. And Stephen, wake up, wake up. We got a post-game show.
Is the Texans game over, Robert? I'm so sorry. Oh, my gosh. That's the first time I've ever fallen asleep in my entire career. Can you believe that?
Oh, my goodness. That was about as rough as I thought it was going to be honest with you.
Well, I have to say, though, Robert, that, you know, aside from a few things, really, it was a winnable game, at least for the most part. But the Texans, of course, couldn't take advantage of things. You know, Sam Darnold was Sam Darnold. And, you know, the Panthers came into the game. They ranked first in sacks, and they ranked first against the pass and the run. And they did all of those things. But despite that, the Texans were still in a position to win the game. Now, I honestly believe that if Tyrod Taylor had been in there, they might have pulled that off. But with Davis Mills, it just wasn't going to happen. I mean, you look at his numbers and you think, oh, he didn't really have that bad of a game, but you got to put points on the board. Stats don't matter unless there are points on the board.
19 for 28, 168 yards, one touchdown, zero interceptions. And that's a positive for his first NFL game. But Stephen, I want to talk about some other part of this team that I was really frustrated with watching in this game. And the Texans' offensive line, this is a concern that I had going into the season. There was going to be no really chemistry, no continuity, because none of these guys had played with each other at all before the season started. None of the preseason, none of the training camp, all that sort of thing. And they looked terrible. But my bigger concern was the two guys, or three guys, I should say, that I thought might be a little bit of a help because they had had some continuity was your center and guard play and Titus Howard, Max Sharping, Justin Britt up the middle. It was embarrassing. I mean, I'm not expecting much from Laremy Tunsil at this point, cause I feel like he still might not be 100%, but he wasn't great, but I don't necessarily think he was the problem. Marcus Cannon on the other side, again, not great either, but it's the stuff up the middle. And it's not only that they're not doing it as far as protection, but they're not doing it as far as blocking either. They're not getting any push. That's a problem.
And then that was something the Panthers were doing, Robert. You know, the whole night, they were getting the push from their offensive line. Now, at least in the first quarter, and certainly in the fourth quarter, you know, even when you had Christian McCaffrey out, they were getting that. But as far as the Texans' offensive line, I mean, we've talked about it. Not only is it the chemistry not there, but, you know, you got a couple of guys. I think it's like they're still trying to find what positions do they work at best? You know, Titus Howard, Max Sharping, you know, they've been kind of plopped around the last couple of seasons on the line, and that doesn't help either. But, yeah, on both sides, I mean, Davis Mills was taking some shots, absolutely. But, you know, to his credit, he'd get back up. But, you know, the running game just isn't there at all. Certainly in this game it wasn't. And that's a big concern. And you've got to have that going if Davis Mills even has a chance to be decent as a passing.
There was no respect for the passing game early on, and that's what you would have expect from Carolina. Maybe Tim Kelly should have been a little bit more aggressive and open it up to begin with, and then maybe then get a little bit conservative with the running game and then play more ball control. I don't know if that would have helped much, though, because I don't know what this offensive line is good at this point, and I just don't see it. And the concern, really, Stephen, is you drafted a guy in the first round and the second round, not any of these people that are with the Texans right now, we know, but Brian Gain was the guy that made that draft about the offensive line, which needed to happen, and they get Titus Howard and they get Max Sharping, and neither of those guys look good. Now, Titus Howard, I thought he looked better at tackle than he has at guard.
I totally agree with that. I just felt like, you know, he seemed to be making strides at tackle last year. That's, I think, where I would have kept him. But again, when you've got weaknesses at guard, you know, what do? It's like a catch 22.
Let's go through some of these possessions, and we go possession by possession, because I feel like you learn a lot about what happened in the game and where things went wrong or right in certain circumstances. But first possession of the game, the defense for the Texans, 3 and out. That was great. Nice pass defense by Vernon Hargraves on third down. Yeah, you heard me right, Stephen. I said Vernon Hargraves.
Yes, you did. I'm proud of you.
Proud of Vernon Hargraves for actually doing something.
Proud of Vernon Hargraves.
The second possession, offensive possession of the first possession, offensive possession of Davis Mills' career as a starter, 3 and out. Panthers read a Texans screen on third down, sniffed it out pretty easily. Going back to the Texans defense, and then it starts to break down at that point with the Texans defense, and it really never looked all that great most of the game. But 10 plays, 88-yard drive, 5-yard touchdown by Sam Darnold on the read option. 7-0 Panthers. This defense is going to rely on hopefully getting turnovers. But for the first time this season, Stephen, no turnovers. Not preseason, regular season, whatever.
No, none. And that's, as I've said, is what keeps them in the close games. You know, a turnover here, a turnover there would definitely have made it a winnable game. And, you know, on that first drive for the Panthers, when they went 88 yards, this guy Chris Moore, I mean, he was putting it, basically taking the Texans to school. He was making some big plays. He did it several times throughout the game. I almost kind of wondered, wait, is T.Y. Hilton out there? He was so wide open on numerous plays throughout the game and certainly on that possession.
All right. So on offense for the Texans, one first down and punt, Farrell Brown holding call, killed the drive. You can't have those. The penalties, not so good in this game. We can get back to that. But defense, 14 plays, 81-yard drive. But the Texans do come up with a fourth and one stop at the 5-yard line. And at that point, Christian McCaffrey goes down with a hamstring. And you know what I thought? I thought, hey, there's that Texans turf sneaking up and getting another guy.
Funny that you say that. I was thinking the very same thing. It's like, hey, he's in Houston, so maybe it's not just, you know, Houston sports teams that get them. It's just anybody who comes to Houston is going to have a hamstring. But yeah, he went out early, and the running game definitely stalled after that, Robert, at least until the fourth quarter. The Texans were able to do a much better job on the run, because when McCaffrey was in there, he was showing why he's one of the better backs.
Kind of evens things out a little bit too, with Tyrod Taylor being out of the game. I was like, okay, that's a little bit more of a fair fight.
Right, exactly.
So then the Texans on offense, 2 first downs and punt, still nothing much going on. On defense for the Texans, they get a 3 and out. Jonathan Greenard had a strip fumble. Texans didn't recover. This would have helped right there as the turnover that you thought you needed, or what you did need. And that's worth noting, since this is the first game, that strip fumble by Greenard, it's the first game we've seen Jonathan Greenard active for the Texans, their big draft pick last year.
Yeah, how about that? Greenard, I mean, we're hearing his name called more often these days. So there is one guy that came through for you in that round.
Well, we heard him at least in this game. We hadn't heard him in the other two games, unless it was, hey, he's inactive again.
Yeah, that's about it.
But offensively, another 3 and out, or another real quick drive. They had had like maybe, I think, 3 first downs in the first 4 drives to that point. And then on defense, they get a 3 and out. Whitney Merciless, a sack ends the drive. So there's a Whitney Merciless sighting. That's always good to see. But then, Stephen, what do you know? 7 plays, 64-yard drive, a fantastic 2-minute drill by Davis Mills. It ends with a Mills to Anthony Miller. Hey, he's alive and well.
Welcome back, Anthony. We sure needed you, right? It was his first game back, of course, since the preseason when he had the shoulder injury. And you know, Robert, I couldn't help but think at that point, hey, why not go more no huddle and more up-tempo offense with Davis Mills? Because it seems as if he seemed more comfortable in that two-minute offense than he does in the regular offense. So I'm thinking, hey, maybe they should do that a little more often, you know, not just with 2 minutes left in the half or the game.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's, you know, you just never know, because it's like a lot of times you go to that 2 minute offense and quarterbacks relax. But if you tell them it's the whole game, it's that change of pace, I think, that you sometimes need to do, but you need to do it more often, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you need to do it in spots, I think. I mean, you certainly wouldn't do it the whole game, but I couldn't help but think, man, come out in the third quarter maybe and do that and just keep it rolling and see if you can get anything. And of course, they didn't do that.
Correct. And a big part of that drive, Brandon Cooks, three catches. Again, Brandon Cooks, just rock solid. You can't say enough good things about him. Nine catches for 112 yards in this game. He's your offense at this point. But anyway, Joey Sly puts a little damper on it with missing the extra point. So the Texans special teams, not that great. We probably should talk about that a little bit. Remind me to talk about that a little bit later, Stephen. But again, there was an opportunity, because at the end of the half, Ross Blacklock, strip, sack, fumble. If the Texans could have recovered, and it was close with just seconds left in the half, they could have kicked the field goal and took the lead going into halftime.
Yeah, talk about how crazy. As I said, it was a winnable game for most of the game, and that's why, Robert, those two turnovers, or almost turnovers, could have been the difference right there. And let me get back to Davis Mills throwing that touchdown pass for a second. Here's something really crazy. Davis Mills is the first Texans quarterback to throw a touchdown in his first career start since, you'll never guess, Ryan Mallett in week 11 against the Browns in 2014, a game in which the Texans won 23-7. So there's a bright spot for you. He did throw a touchdown pass, and it was, but it's kind of crazy when you think that Ryan Mallett was the last guy to do that as a Texan in his first career start.
Ryan Mallett made the bus to a game, is what you're telling me?
He did. Well, yeah, he actually made it to the game. Well, it wasn't until week 11, so maybe he didn't come to a game until week 11. I don't know.
Okay, so we'll take our own halftime break here. Before we get to the second half, I got to say that our friends at BetUS.com had the Texans as 9-point dogs before the kickoff, which was 1 point more than they were when you and I recorded the podcast on Wednesday, Stephen. Right. Now, if I remember, I said, take the Panthers and give up the points, because we knew it's Davis Mills at quarterback. It's his first start, 3 days to prepare. Lo and behold, I think we nailed that one.
We both did. I said the very same things. And no, the Texans are not going to cover. They've covered the first two games, but I did not see them covering this one. And we would have won some money, Robert.
We also said, do not bet the over. There's no way these two teams get six touchdowns, and we were right about that one too.
What was it, 40 points? I'm sorry, 30, I can't do math anyway, 33 points is what the total was.
Yeah, and it was like 43 or something was the over-under.
43, 44, I think I saw it a couple of different places.
If you're betting, though, on the NFL this season, you know where to go. It's BetUS.com, because you might as well use a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. Our friends over there, not just football, though, because they take action on any sport. They've done it for nearly three decades. They've been a pioneer in the sportsbook industry. Great fan base. Just a perfect mobile platform for you, too, which is super easy. Log into BetUS.com or call 800-792-3887. 800-79-BETUS. Really easy to remember. And here's how we can save you some money when you do that. Because when you sign up, use our promo code HST125, Houston Sports Talk. Just abbreviate all that, HST125, and that gets you a 125% sign-up bonus on your initial $100 deposit. Again, that's HST125. That's the code. And to help our podcast, sign up using either the BetUS link on our pinned post at the top of our Twitter page, or go to our website, HoustonSportsTalk.net, and click on the BetUS icon. Get your online and social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity, like I did. BetUS, you bet. You win, you get paid. And if you're going to bet on David Culley to be aggressive, Stephen, you will lose your shirt. Let's get to the first possession of the second half. Because David Culley starts off the second half, and the Texans go down the field, and they get to the 39-yard line, and it's 4th and 4. And Culley says, we'll punt. Why not? Why kick a field goal? Texans fans not happy. They boo NRG Stadium, just beside themselves. What do you do here, Steven? Do you go for it? Do you kick the 56-yard field goal, or do you punt?
Well, of course, he didn't know this at the time, but Sly ended up making a 53-yarder later. So, yeah, he probably should have gone for it. Now, I'm looking on Twitter right now, Robert. I was looking, you know, while you were doing the sponsor. And David Culley was quoted as saying, when we came out in the second half, we wanted to establish the run and weren't able to do that. Yeah, no joke. And the fans let you hear about it, David.
Well, it's not just about establishing some aggressiveness. And here's where I have a big problem, Stephen. I mean, the deal with Nick Caserio is he should have gone to David Culley and said, look, I'm not firing you after 1 year. You know, you go out there and set a tone that this franchise is aggressive. You don't do stupid stuff, but we're going to be an aggressive franchise. This is about setting a tone for where the Texans go in the future. And, you know, I understand being somewhat conservative with Davis Mills at points, but at least kick a field goal there. Give it a shot, 56 yards. Hell, you're in the game at this point. You got a shot at winning the game. I mean, look, why not do it? I mean, at least you give yourself a shot, because, I mean, playing a possession game when you've got Davis Mills and a defense that's not doing anything is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. And, you know, we kept hearing so much about how aggressive David Culley was going to be. And we've talked about this, I think, the first two games, that we're not seeing that. And we played three games now, and we're not seeing that aggression, whatever aggression it is that he's talking about. So it came out, and it basically bit them in the butt for sure tonight.
So I'm sure what happened after that, though, Stephen, is, you know, they pinned him back, and then the defense came up with a big play, and the Texans got it back at around midfield, right? Is that what happened?
No, not according to my notes.
No. 9 plays, 91 yards, 7-yard touchdown by Tremble. Kirksey hurts the cause. Christian Kirksey with the personal foul, late hit penalty, 14-6 Panthers. And now we got to talk about, again, the penalties. David Culley said there was going to be an emphasis on that this year, and we were hoping that they were going to be better in this category. Well, they had 8 penalties, 64 yards. Panthers had their penalty problems too, especially early in this game. 7 penalties for 51 yards. But still, I mean, if you're concentrating on penalties and turnovers and things like that, you gotta square that stuff up. And really, penalties is about coaching as anything in football right there.
Well, you know, the little things are the big picture, Robert. It's those things. It's penalties. It's turnovers. And the Texans, they didn't have any turnovers. They didn't make any turnovers, but they had penalties in the wrong spots. I mean, that Kirksey penalty definitely set up that Panthers score. So, you know, the things like that, it will make the difference in the game. And it seemed to me too, especially in the first half, that the Panthers were just dominating the whole game. But you look at the scoreboard and it's 7-6, you know, and then they score on that drive, make it at 14-6. And yet you think, oh, it should have been much more than that.
Okay, so we move on, and it's another 3-and-out for Davis Mills. The defense comes back on the field, not stopping anybody really. 10 plays, 56 yards, 21-yard field goal, 17-6 Panthers at that point. And you feel like it's pretty much over. But you can say that's a 2-score game. Maybe they can get back in it. The offense gets back out on the field. 8 plays, 40-yard drive. Joey Sly kicks a 53-yard field goal. You mentioned that earlier. So it is 17-13. And now it's on the defense. And again, just get a stop. But they couldn't get any stops in this game, especially when it counted. 12 plays, 75-yard drive. Darnold, 1-yard touchdown run. 24-9 Panthers. That pretty much sewed it up. The last drive for the Texans, 1 first down, and then the Texans turn it over on downs again. Just terrible offensive line play in that last drive. I mean, just indicative of where things were. You know, sometimes you go, okay, it's a rookie quarterback, Steven. He's playing his first game. maybe he's supposed to do a better job of setting the offensive lineup, setting up, you know, pass protection stuff. And a lot of times you can blame a quarterback, but I just felt like this was, you know, at least 75%, maybe 80% on the offensive line. If I'm just eyeballing it, I mean, that's the truth. And that's not going to get any better, I assume, in the next three or four games. I don't know how this gets a whole lot better quicker. It takes a long time to develop chemistry.
Well, I think you have to feel that way. I mean, this is a rookie quarterback, and he doesn't even have a lot of college experience. You know, there were a few plays that he probably could have made better, but would it have really made the difference in the game? I don't think so. And there was one where he scrambled, and he was short of the first down, and he kind of hesitated a little bit too long. You know, and then there was another part where he got hit that he took too long to throw the ball. You know, those things, it takes a while for a quarterback to learn all that. So, yeah, you know, the pressure or the onus, I guess, is on the offensive line to protect your rookie quarterback and to play better because of that. But obviously the Texans didn't do that tonight.
And again, you go back to the offensive line in the running game, too. Open up some holes, do something, help out somehow. 17 carries, 42 yards, 2.5 yards a carry. That's it.
Yeah, that is definitely not going to cut it in the NFL, especially when you have a rookie quarterback that you're not confident that he can throw consistently. And certainly the defense, they're going to rear their ears back and come after you because they know he can't. So, yeah, the running game, it's definitely got to get better. I really thought I would see more of Mark Ingram. It just seemed like there was a lot of the times that Ingram should have gotten most of the carries, but Philip Lindsay was getting quite a few, and it just wasn't working out.
Glad you brought that up because, yes, Philip Lindsay had 7 carries. Mark Ingram had 6. They were the 2 leading ball carriers for the Texans. And what do they see in Philip Lindsay? Because I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, I think we saw Rex Burkett for maybe 1 or 2 plays. I mean, what happened to this 5-back thing that's supposed to make the Texans really deep? And, you know, they had a few plays to Akins, but really the tight ends weren't that involved. I was really hoping that Mills could utilize throwing the ball to the backs in the backfield or coming out of the backfield and using the tight end formations more. But we really didn't see a lot of that tonight.
Yeah, if you go as far as wide receivers, Jordan Akins, outside of Brandon Cooks, him and Anthony Miller each had 4 catches. Rex Burkhead, you mentioned him, 1 catch, 5 yards. Mark Ingram had a catch, but that was it. Chris Conley, he got you nothing at all from Chris Conley in this game.
No, and in fact, I think there was one ball where he should have turned around and he didn't, and so that was more on him than it was on Davis Mills.
Yeah, there's been a few times with Davis that guys haven't been looking for the ball, and I don't know if that's a young quarterback that's panicking and throwing the ball before the break or before they're supposed to look for it, but I think you need those receivers to understand that he's a young guy and this offensive line isn't good. So maybe you have to turn around and anticipate a little bit quicker than you normally would. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a shame, but I think a lot of it too is chemistry. It does take a little while, but those are the things that are going to have to happen though. You've got to make those plays if the Texans are going to have a chance to win any of these games.
Anybody do much for you defensively? Zach Cunningham, 14 tackles, 6 solo. Christian Kirksey, 10 tackles, 7 solo. Were those the standouts, or did those tackles, did they feel like they mattered much? Because it was a lot of long drives in there. I don't know if they're just tackling guys five yards down the field most of the time.
Well, I think the tackling at least was certainly better than it was in the Cleveland game, you know, for the most part, but they just gave up too many big plays. They gave up too many deep passes. And then, you know, when McCaffrey was in there, they were definitely getting runs in huge chunks. And then in the fourth quarter, you know, when the Texans really needed to get the ball back and they pinned the Panthers back, they couldn't do it. Hubbard started taking over. Darnold started throwing, and that was it. I mean, they just ground the clock down to where the Texans really had no chance to come back.
The Texans got what we thought would be a really good special teams guy in Andre Roberts, but he fumbled another punt, got lucky that the Texans recovered, but man, I don't know if you want to continue to pay Andre Roberts to do nothing but return punts and kicks when he can't hold on to the football.
Well, that's right. And then there was another, I remember he did this last week too. There was another where he brought it out where he probably shouldn't have brought it out. And what's going on? Why aren't we not seeing Desmond King II on more returns? That's what I want to know.
Because you're paying Andre Robertson. You got to get Desmond King out on that defense because, you know, there's not a whole lot you have as far as defensive backs go. You know what? I do want to give the defensive backs a little bit of credit because, really, the time that Darnold had to throw, he should have had more receivers open. But there a lot of times there weren't guys open, I assume. Or Darnold wasn't reading it. And for the most part this year, the quarterbacks have been waiting and waiting and waiting. And either the Texans, you know, can't get there in time or they've benefited at times. But I just feel like the secondary has been a lot better than they were last year because there aren't those holes in the secondary that we saw last year. There are not guys running wide open everywhere.
Oh, my goodness. Wasn't that a nightmare? You know, we're not seeing that quite so much this year. I mean, they're getting pressure. They were getting pressure on Darnold, but just not enough. They couldn't get to him. And unfortunately, the Panthers were certainly getting a lot of pressure. I mean, they came into the week leading the league in sacks with 10, and they got four more tonight. But, yeah, the Texans, not very many sacks at all. In fact, Whitney Merciless. Hey, Whitney got another sack. Did you know that, Robert?
Oh, yeah. We mentioned that.
And you did mention it.
Yeah, we mentioned it earlier, but you might be still waking up from that nap that you had during the game. I don't know.
Yeah, unfortunately. It wasn't the most exciting game you'll ever see, and the Texans are 1-2 now. But, you know, honestly, all in all, what else could we really have expected with Davis Mills making his first start? I think that my biggest fear, Robert, I'm sure it was too, he was going to come out, you know, maybe the first couple of possessions, throw a couple picks, and the Panthers were just going to blow this thing open early. So I guess you could say that that didn't happen, and he seemed to gain confidence as he went along, at least in spots. So, you know, if there's anything to build on, maybe that's it, but it sure isn't much when you're going into next week.
You know, this is a trial by fire for this kid, and next week he's going to have a much longer time to prepare, which hopefully that'll help him. Hopefully that'll help this offense. The offensive line's got to get it together, too. I mean, Davis Mills, you know, he had his faults, but, man, he's just got nobody helping him out except Brandon Cooks. It's a one-man show, and the tight ends, they've got to do better. Farrell Brown cannot have penalties. And you know, you can't be making big mistakes in the penalty game too, because the only way you're going to stay in these games is just, you got to play as mistake free as possible. And Davis Mills did his part. He did his part playing mistake free. It was, the other guys that needed to get things together.
Yeah. And that's really where it is from there. And they have a week and a half to, as you said, to prepare, maybe heal up at least some of these guys. You know, there's a few that are on injured reserve and they're not going to be coming back for a while. But yeah, if there was ever a time the Texans probably need a break, it'd be right now. And especially for Davis Mills, because it will give him more time to study the film and learn from his mistakes. Yeah, the offensive line, Robert, I just don't know. I mean, I'm not sure a week and a half is even going to be enough to get them better. But they have to be if the Texans even have a chance of remaining in any of these games.
You know, our friends at BetUS have the Houston Cougars as 19-point favorites over Navy Saturday. And they have the Longhorns 8.5-point favorites over Texas Tech. Stephen, let me ask you something. Should Texas be 8.5-point favorites over Texas Tech?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised on that line, Robert. I'm not sure. You know, I mean, what they did against Rice, I don't think that can be an indication. What they did against Arkansas, yeah, I'm not sure I would take the 8 for Texas Tech. The Cougars 19 over Navy, I'm a little surprised about that.
We'll see what happens. It's interesting. Dana Holgorsen, he did a little mea culpa about what happened with his quarterback and maybe playing him when he wasn't quite right against a certain team this past weekend that they should have just clobbered no matter what. So he at least admitted his mistake there. Stephen, we talked about that a little bit, remember?
We did. No, I was very critical of him. And, you know, he came out and said, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But too little too late. So we'll have to see what happens when he comes back.
So you heard what Stephen said. Maybe you don't take the Longhorns. Maybe that's a pretty good bet because Texas Tech, you know, they've won a couple of games the last couple of weeks. Not, you know, a real big wins. Stephen F. Austin is not going to get you excited as a win is concerned. They've beat a couple of slappies, but they look pretty good against U of H. So consider Maybe betting on Texas Tech against Texas. We'll see if I know what I'm talking about. We'll see if Steven, Steven knows what he's talking about.
Well, let me just tell you, you talk about offensive lines. You think the Texans offensive line is bad. The Longhorns offensive line really needs to get it together because both their quarterbacks have been getting banged around and sacked quite a bit. So yeah, Tech's going to be ready for him. That's always a big game, no matter where they play, no matter where those teams are. So yeah, I'm just not confident about taking that 8 points.
So if you believe in us, if you're agreeing with us, maybe get over to BetUS.com, America's favorite sportsbook. And when you use it, remember the promo code HST125 will get you that 125% sign-up bonus on that initial $100 deposit. If you forget, you can find it in the show description of our shows. And to help our podcast, use the BetUS link on our Twitter post at the top of our page on Twitter. It's HST Podcast, if you forgot, on Twitter, if you're not following us over there. Even if you don't have Twitter, you can just go to Twitter and look at us. That's the great thing. It's open format there. You can also go to our website, HoustonSportsTalk.net. Click on BetUS on the right side of the page with the website. But just look for the big icon no matter where you're looking on our website, on the homepage, HoustonSportsTalk.net. Well, we're going to talk some Astros the next time Steven and I get together. Looking forward to maybe talking a little bit about the postseason. So keep an eye out for that show. Also, again, go back and if you haven't listened to our Astros regular season award show that we just reposted with the correct audio early on Thursday. But until we catch up with you next time, stay healthy and safe, everybody.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Don't forget to follow Houston Sports Talk on Facebook and Twitter. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, the Google Podcast app, or the Stitcher app. You can support us by giving us a 5-star review on iTunes or by telling your friends about us. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.